Anyway, we thank God for you today. Today we're in our series, Acts of the Apostles. Acts of the Apostles, amen. We're in a series, and now we're in Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verse 29 through 32, amen. Acts chapter 5, verses 29 through 32. All right, Peter and the apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as prince and savior that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given in those who obey him." Lord, we thank you so much for your power and your grace. Ask for your glory to move in this house. Bring the word like only you can. Eliminate the distractions, Lord. Eliminate them, Lord. Eliminate the cantankerous hearts and spirits that have sensed in some. Bring your spirit fresh on this place. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. As you take your seat, I want to preach on "You Can't Stop the Unstoppable." Normally, I don't do your neighbor stuff, but I need you to tell your neighbor, "You can't stop the unstoppable." And just tell them, hashtag me. Come on, somebody. You are unstoppable. Do you not know that you're fearfully and wonderfully made? Do you not know he who began a good work in you shall finish it? Do you know that no weapon formed against you shall prosper? You need to let your neighbor and everybody else know that you're unstoppable. Amen. So let me just calm myself down. Have you ever faced an impossible situation? In last week's sermon, we saw how even in the midst of persecution, the apostles of the early church continued to be obedient in declaring the gospel. They faced opposition from the religious and political leaders of the time, and many were thrown in jail on multiple occasions, and some were martyred for their faith. Yet, through the power of the Holy Spirit, Christians experienced boldness, declared truth, and received empowerment through God's grace. They weren't focusing on present circumstances full of discouragement, questions, or impossibility. Their focus was on God. As a result, men and women were saved, healed, and witnessed miracles. The missions of the gospel spread to all the earth and was unstoppable because it was part of God's salvation story. You got to understand that nothing can stop you. You gotta learn what Peter learned. You can't look at the waves of life. You gotta begin to look toward the hills in which cometh your help. Because when you focus on what God has for you, you don't have time to worry about the naysayers around you. You don't have the time to worry about the enemies around you. As long as you focus on God, you are and filled with the Holy Spirit, nothing in this world can stop you. But anyway, let me get my points together. I got 3 points today, and I'm gonna take my seat. Number one, God calls us to do the impossible. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He knows that fear will not get us through danger, but love does, and a sound mind will, and courage can. First of all, courage is not at all the absence of fear. It's the willingness to persevere and be obedient even in the midst of opposition. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. He is not giving you a spirit of fear. He says he knows you can do it in love. Perfect love does what? Cast out all fear. When you understand that God loves you unconditionally, even with your sinful, messed up self, you will continue to do what God has called you to do because you have the confidence in him to know that he's the one and he's the author and finisher of your faith. But anyway, Peter was one of Jesus' disciples and became one of the main leaders and preachers in the early church, a fisherman by trade. His story is one of overcoming fear and living out the impossible. You may remember the conversation he had with Jesus at the Last Supper, and Jesus told the disciples that he was going to be crucified, but Peter replied, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and even death." Jesus answered, "And tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me 3 times that you know me." And Peter was like, no, I won't, but he did what? He denied it. What you need to understand is this: God know more than you. What I've learned in life, I realize I'm smart enough to know I'm stupid. I'm smart enough to know that God knows more than me. His ways are not my ways. And you know, I finally learned, Deacon Spells, why I can't worry about church folk submitting to authority and church folk following pastors and deacons. I don't worry about that because church folk don't even listen to Jesus. Jesus told Peter he was going to deny him. And Peter was like, no, I ain't God. How you going to tell God what you going to do? That's the problem with the church. We try to tell God what the best answer is. Sometimes we know we receive an answer from God, but we try to do what it is we want to do in our own hearts. Jesus told Peter, Peter told Jesus, don't go to the cross. Don't go, God. You shouldn't go. Do you understand that sometimes you got to go through tough situations and God puts you in impossible situations just to show himself glorious in your life? And when people try to tell you to stop walking and stop doing what God has called you to do, when God called you to do something, he called you to an impossible task. He don't call you to nothing small. If you can do it on your own, God didn't call you to do it, because God said, nobody gonna take my glory. He'll put you in an impossible situation so that heaven and hell can know it wasn't nothing but him that got you through it. So the God would know you, it's only you. Your friends would know it's not you. Your mama would know it's not you. He allowed you and put you in impossible situation so you can bring glory to him. Amen. He said, no, I'm ready to go to jail. But look, sure enough, he was arrested, and Peter denied him three times. But the amazing thing, if we look in Acts 5, 29 and 32, Peter and the other apostles replied. Peter saying this, we must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand and had as prince and savior that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgiveness of sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey. Peter couldn't stop talking about Jesus. See, you won't be as bold as you're supposed to be until you get the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know you a superhero, Superman, Superwoman? Wonder Woman ain't got nothing on you. Aquaman ain't got nothing on you. Batman ain't got nothing on you. You're fearfully and wonderfully made because the Holy Ghost is inside of you, and it gives you the power to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. A part of God himself lives in you. So when somebody tell you it's impossible and you can't do it, tell them, baby, I know I can't do it, but God can. I know I can't accomplish it, but God can. I know I can't possess the land, but God can. Greater is he who is in me than he was in the world. I know I can't do it. You got to learn how to be like Paul. If you gonna boast, you better boast in the Lord and let them know if it was not for God on your side, you don't know where you would be, baby. God allowed you to go through hell just so hell can have a witness to see that you brought, oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. God will snatch you out of the darkness into the marvelous light. God will let you go through hell just so hell can see you do the impossible. God will let people come at you at your job. God will let some scandals break out in your life just to show the world that he is God and he can make a way out of no way. He is God. He is the immovable. Somebody better watch out. I love my enemies. I love my haters. You know why? It keep me on my knees, and it showed me that it's not me, but it's God. Oh, if I didn't have some enemies every now and then, if you didn't have some enemies in your life, you wouldn't be on your knees. I love the members who follow me willingly. I love the members who, but the members that give me holy hallelujah and keep me on my knees, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be the man of God I am now. You need some enemies in your life. Yeah, you need some folk that come to church just to show you they mad. Come in, look at you, and go home. You need some.
Yeah.
God put you in impossible situations so he can make your life a reality show. People don't come see good news. God got some people to rattle around you so they can see some bad news in your life, but they about to witness the greatest resurrection of your life. God has allowed you to be put in an impossible situation just so he can show himself mighty. See, that's why I don't worry about Charlottesville and Trump. God just setting up an impossible situation to show the power of the church. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying? See, it's time out from preaching all these sermons. Some of y'all look like y'all don't even want to be here. Go home.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Y'all don't hear. It's time out from playing church. It's time out. Hell, the problem with the church is we play too much defense. Now, I ain't a straight up diehard Peyton Manning fan, but they always say defense wins game, but Peyton Manning will tell you, but you got to score. And I'm tired of the church sitting back on their blessed assurance, letting the devil kick in our gates and take over territory when we're supposed to be kicking in the gates of hell. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying? I'm tired of the church walking around with no power in the weakness. God allowed us to be put in an impossible situation. He let racism show its ugly head out loud so the church could get up off its blessed assurance and do something.
God ain't about no. God says, if you nuck, be ready to buck. Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He leads us into experiencing all truth. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. When you experience the experience of God and the Holy Spirit, your life changes. You don't worry about haters and naysayers. In fact, you appreciate them, because if it wasn't for them, how could he prepare a table for you? Because didn't he tell you he prepared it in the presence of your enemies? If you ain't got an enemy here and there, he can't prepare the table for you. I don't go invite my enemies. They come to dinner anyhow, so I don't have to go look for them. But when they come, I just hold up holy hand and say, hallelujah, my blessing about to come. Oh, I'm trying to talk to somebody. Let me go to number two. God empowers us to be unstoppable. The more resistance, threats, and violence Peter and the apostles came up against, the more unstoppable they became. I found in my own life that God will often bring us through difficult circumstances that are impossible in our own strength, so that we can learn to completely rely on him. When we remember it is about God's strength and not our own, we are more willing to trust him and allow him to use us for his purpose. Oh, see, I know you keep saying, I can't do it, God. I can't do it. No, you can't do it. It's him who's able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before his glorious majesty and do it with exceeding joy. It's him that began a good work in you that shall finish it. It's him that's going to give you the good measure, blessing, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Not your own power. When you finally get to the point where Paul recognized that it wasn't his strength, but he gloried in his infirmities, because he understood, because when I'm weak, I'm made strong. Why? When I get to the point and know it ain't my power, God put his super on my natural. When I begin to understand it's not him, he glorifies himself in my life. I know I can't preach. I know I can't teach, but God empowers me to do what it is he wants me to do. Oh, baby, one thing my enemies and I got in common, we both wonder how in the world God called me. That's one thing we can sit down and eat about, baby. I don't know either. God had used the foolishness of man. Some of y'all need to stop hating. Because you can't stop me. See, this the thing. You know how Bruce Lee, I know you know Bruce Lee were over here. You know how Bruce Lee would be like, ooh. Ooh. Ooh, no, no, no. He tell him, don't mess with me, you gonna lose. See, it ain't arrogant. I tell my enemy that sometimes. Now, I've been dealing with you for 5 and 6 years, but now it's time to possess the land. You might want to leave me alone, because you can't kick against the anointing. He told Paul, it's not easy to kick against the priest. Sometimes you just got to send your enemy the text message. You might want to leave me alone and stay in your own cubicle, because where God is about to take me, you can't stop me, and I don't want you to get destroyed. Oh, you got to warn your enemies. Oh, believe me, it might be somebody said, I didn't send folk a text message or two. You might want to step back, because you don't want to catch the backside of the anointing of God. And you got to get to the point where you bold and know that God, if God be for you, who in the world can be against you? God will never lose a fight. You're unstoppable. Tell racism it better sit down. It can't stop you. Tell your furlough you better get out my face. You can't stop me. Tell your racist supervisor you might want to bow down. You can't stop me. You got to let folk know. You got to get them a warning. You got to be like, you can't stop the unstoppable. You got to dare folk to come against your vision. I dare you to walk against the vision God gave me. I'm feeling that. I'm feeling that right there. I'm feeling that right there. Luke 18:27 says, what is impossible with man is possible with God. You can't do it, but God can. I know I can't do it. I know I couldn't bring the cops and black folk together in one room and be happy. I'm black, and I won't be happy sometimes in the presence of police, but he used me to put it together. Why? Because I know the impossible is possible with God. God does not give you a vision that does not stretch you. God does not give you a vision you can do with your own power. God does not give you a vision that you know confidently that you can do. You got to get to the point where you know you can't do it on your own. And if God don't show up, you know you're going to be embarrassed and messed up. When you know you're about to be embarrassed, then you know it's a vision from God.
Ah, oh, Jesus.
Following the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, Peter and the apostle responded to the call of God and began to boldly teach the people of Jerusalem about what they had seen and heard. Their words and actions enraged the city's leaders, but the priests got mad. But they got mad at the truth.
You know, the people that get mad when the fiery sermons come, the ones that get mad are the ones God dealing with. Hit dog. Holler. They preached the truth. And they knew they would preach the truth. But they got mad. But you know why they got mad? They didn't just get mad because they was preaching the truth. They got mad because they got jealous. They were mad because he was unlearned men who had not been to seminary, didn't go to Virginia Union, didn't go to ITC, didn't go to Regent University, didn't go to Hampton, didn't go to Yale, didn't go to Duke, didn't go to Cambridge, didn't go to any school that they went to, yet they had the power of the Holy Ghost. What you need to know is God does not call to qualify. He qualifies to call, and you need to stop trying to be qualified before you step up. You need to step up right where you are, whether you ignorant, uneducated, ugly, pretty, fat, skinny, or tall. God will use you because the Holy Ghost is what qualifies you. Jesus. Gamaliel was a member, a high priest, and he told them, you need to leave them alone. Let me read it for you. I'm going to go ahead and read it. Acts 5 and 38 and 39 says, for if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. So Betty said, you need to stand down. I know last week we said stand down for what? Well, let me let my enemies know for what. You better stand down whenever you're coming against a man or woman of God, because they are unstoppable. You just need to take a selfie of yourself and just tweet it out and say hashtag unstoppable. The world can't stop you. Racism can't stop you. Trump can't stop you. Bannon can't stop you. Republicans can't stop you. Democrats can't stop you. Hate can't stop you. Death can't even stop you. Hey, somebody better know that you're unstoppable.
Gamaliel
was the same person that gave Paul, when he was Saul, the papers to kill him. Do you know God had put a supernatural anointing on your enemies and make them become your footstool and force them to bless you? Saul was raising a holy hallelujah everywhere, killing Christians, and God turned his life around. Old school preachers say he picked them up, turned them around, put his feet on solid ground, and used them for his kingdom. I'm just going to prophesy to your life right now. Some of your greatest enemies will become your greatest allies. It ain't nothing like when your enemy come on your team. Let me talk about this because I'm going to do the blackout football. So while preseason going on, I might use them. Because I had a series together that I got from my old pastor's book, Pastor McCaleb, Breaking the Huddle. But the NFL, it's funny how they'll let drug dealers, rapists, wife beaters, weed smokers, drug addicts, liars, racist folk. They'll let them play football, but then say it's bad for the image when somebody stand up for what they feel is right. Now, I don't fight by kneeling on the ground because my platform ain't big enough for me to kneel on the ground. What I do is I bring the police together. But you can't win a softball game with all pitches. You can't win a football game with all quarterbacks. What you have to do is have different positions. So as long as you're doing your position in love and doing it in strategy and not emotion, you will be all right. So sorry, Falcons, I love you, but I can't watch you this year until y'all give Kaepernick a job because too many other quarterbacks are not as good as him that ain't playing. Huh? And don't be talking about his hair. Why they got to put your hair? Why I got to look like the establishment? Why I got to be conservative? I cut my hair because my hair don't grow no more. So I got to keep it low so you won't know I'm about losing everything. But at the end of the day, you see what I'm saying? But what I'm trying to tell you is when your enemy comes on your team, it's power. Remember when I know you're going to love this story, Brother Deacon. He's going to love this story, so I'm going to come over here because he's going to be my friend right now. See, remember when Deion Sanders played for San Francisco? Well, you ain't going to like the beginning of the story. I'm going to go over here till I get to the end because you're a Cowboy fan. Remember when Deion Sanders played for San Francisco and they beat the Cowboys and went to the Super Bowl and won? Uh-huh. Then the next year, he went to the Cowboys and played the same team he played for, beat them and went to the Super Bowl, and they got mad because ain't nothing like when your enemy become your ally. Not only was Deion a great cornerback, not only was he a great cornerback, but he had already came from the team. He already knew their strategy. Sometimes God will pull your enemy out of the midst of your enemies and bring them on your team and let you know the whole strategy. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. That's why you got to forgive your enemies. That's why you got to let God handle your fight. Because every now and then, God will make your enemy your ally. Ooh. Yeah. Don't get mad. Let God handle it. Put the blood of Jesus on it and let him handle it. Don't take your earrings off, baby. Don't put the Vaseline on. Don't take your tie off. Don't get ready to fight. Let God be your battle axe. Let God be the one who fights your battle. The battle is not yours, it's God. Let God work out your life. Let God work out your salvation. Let God do it. See, they ain't doing nothing but shadow boxing with you. They shadow boxing. You ain't really fighting them. God jabbing them. Woo, you better let go. A message to all haters. This is a public service kingdom announcement. Don't bother me. I'm unstoppable. You might need to put that on your page and let your enemies know, no matter how much hell they throw against you, throw all the manure at me you want, baby. It ain't nothing but fertilizer. That's all you're doing. I shake it off and step in it and let my anointing get ever the more greater. Keep throwing your manure at me, baby. It's going to make the grass over here even more greener than it already is. I'm unstoppable. Talk about. Whoo. Can't stop you. They can't stop you. Stop whining. When I'm tired of these church folk whining. They keep coming against me. Oh, no. Shut up. Guard up your loins. And understand that if God be for you, can't nothing come against you. Stop whining. God
is the author and finisher of your faith. I'm tired of church folk walking around here crying because enemies come. How in the world are you going to be more than an overcomer if you ain't got nothing to overcome? How can you be more than a conqueror if you ain't got nothing to conquer? Stop crying and just hold up your holy hands and call those things that be not as though they were, and praise God even in the midst of your craziness, because it's a fixed fight and you will be victorious. Same man that wrote the letters to kill the folk, the same man that came back and told them to leave him alone, the same man that put out the hitman's poster is the same man that took him back down. You better know that God would do an impossible feat and make your enemies give to you. Oh, you don't understand what I'm saying. Some of y'all enemies to folk, and you need to check to see if they with God or not. If you with God and they ain't, you good. But if you ain't with God and you coming against them, you better sit down. Because one thing is, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. See, the thing about it is, I put God's name on everything I do. I was had the esteem honor to be interviewed by TBN for the In Touch. And no matter how much I say Jesus on different networks, Jesus never makes the cut. They let God go on it, but they won't let Jesus go, because sometimes people got a problem with Jesus because some people put him as a prophet and not really the Son of God. But when you begin to glorify Jesus, Jesus begins to exalt you and bring you to stages that you would never imagine you went to. Folk didn't even support me. Folk didn't even show up for some of the things. But yet TBN comes to film us to see what's filmed the whole game. Stayed there from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Then came and interviewed me. You know, TBN don't let you on TBN unless you get invited. But I kept trying to say Jesus, but nobody would air Jesus. So Jesus said, if you're going to honor me, baby, I'll honor you. You need to understand, God, if God has a dog in the fight, he with you. And the only dog he really wanted to fight is his name. If you put his name on it. Look how crazy they are. Acts chapter 5, verse 41. Instead of seeing the flogging as threats, as a situation of pain, in verse 41 it says, the apostle rejoiced because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for his name. Do you know when the enemy comes at you, it's a compliment? If the enemy comes at you, it's a compliment. The enemy knows, first of all, if God let the enemy touch you, it's a compliment. Remember, Deacon Ozzy with 1Z. You remember when, I forgot. Oh, yeah. Remember when the devil wanted to attack Job, and God said, you can touch Job's stuff, but don't touch him. And then after he did that, he said, okay, Job, ready, you can touch him now. God don't let nothing hit you that you're not able to take care of, that you don't have the strength to do. God only lets you get hit where you can handle it. So all you got to do is hold up hand and say, I'm worthy to have this affliction, this light affliction. See, this is the problem with church folk. Church folk know they'll say the scripture and preach prosperity and say you're going to receive 100-fold in this lifetime. But they forget to put the comma with persecutions. Huh? You're going to get persecutions. The point is, can you stand to be blessed? You only can get blessed to the threshold of pain you can handle. See, this is what y'all see. Some of y'all want to pastor, some of y'all want to preach, and you want your church to grow. But let me tell you, some pastors, your church aren't growing because you can't handle the pain. If you can't handle the pain, you can't handle the blessing. If you can't handle the weight of the cross on your back, you can't handle the crown on your head. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying? See, the devil pay his tithes, and y'all can get mad if you won't. That's fine. The devil pay his tithes better than church folk. You know one thing about demons? Demons know how to get along. Remember when Jesus was about to cast out the demons in the man that was in the tombs, and he said, we are legion because we are many. They all were working together. Church folk don't do that. It's hard to get two pastors together. and church folk, because everybody want the glory and not give it to Jesus. It's hard. It's hard because we don't want to work together. We want the glory. But can you handle the pain is what I'm saying. If it's 100 folk in your church, 10 of them crazy. If you can't handle 10 demons, you better not get 200 members, because it's 10 more coming. If you got 1,000 members, 100 raising hell. You got to be able to handle the pain. I'm going to say it again to y'all like I be talking to everybody else. If you can't handle your cubicle haters, you can't handle the front office haters. Because how many people really hate you in your cubicle? I don't want to be in no cubicle. You don't want to be in no cubicle. You trying to hold your head down because you don't want me to figure out if you're in a cubicle. You ain't got but one or two haters in a cubicle. So when God elevates you, how you going to handle front office haters? You got to be able to handle the pain. You got to be able to know that you're unstoppable and no weapon formed against you shall prosper. The problem is it will be formed. It just won't prosper. Can you get that in your head? You think your life was going to be great when you came to Jesus. Everything was going to be all right. Zippity-doo-da. Zippity-ay-ay. You didn't know it was going to be lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. But he told you it would not prosper. They counted it joy. They counted it an honor because they were being persecuted. What you complain about that you need to start shouting about because you're at the threshold of your blessing? Do you not know the enemy can't do nothing but steal, kill, and destroy? He don't have enough resources to make new demons. So only thing he can do is attack you right at the threshold when you're about to get blessed. Some of y'all has bowed out and gave up at the cusp of your breakthrough, right at the hem of his garment. You gave up, but the devil attacked you more readily because he knew your breakthrough was coming. Everybody know your breakthrough coming. The problem is, do you know it? Can you hold up holy hands and say, thank you, God, for allowing me to go through it? Because I know you're just trying to work some chafe out of me. Thank you, God, for the infirmity. I know you're just working the chafe out of me. Thank you, God, for my enemies. I know you got them here just to keep me on my knees. Thank you, God, I know my breakthrough is coming. I welcome my haters, because when my haters come, I know I'm about to eat well. He don't prepare the place until your enemies are there. Read your Bible. You got to understand, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, his rod and his staff shall comfort me. Number three, God will never fail us. Remember it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for his rod and his staff shall comfort me. But you know what really people don't catch sometimes? He said he'll bless you for his name's sake. What's up, Rev? He'll bless you for his name's sake. He don't bless you for your name. Your name messed up just like mine. He blesses you for his name's sake. You keep talking about, Lord, I ain't worthy, I don't worthy. I know you ain't worthy, but he is. And he's not blessing you for you. He's blessing you for himself. He's blessing you because he said he came to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. The problem is it was going to come with persecution. It was going to come with resistance. It was going to come with enemies. It was going to come with potholes. It was going to come with lies. It was going to come with scandals. It was going to come with gossip. It was going to come with false accusations, but it will come. But he'll never leave you nor forsake you. I know she's looking over there like, what is he talking about? He done sent this sermon to me, and he ain't even preaching what he sent me. The Holy Ghost must just be in this house, because this ain't on the paper he sent me yesterday. They don't pay me enough for this, Jesus. Just don't even send it to me next time. I'm going to read this part, though.
among the apostles of the early church, there was a man named Stephen. He is described in Acts chapter 6, verse 8, as a man full of God's grace and power. And he performed miracles among the people. The wisdom and the Holy Spirit gave him and could not be argued against. But again, people got mad. High priests got mad, even though they knew he was speaking the truth. What do we call these people? Haters. We have some haters in the Bible. They're there. He knows he's telling the truth, yet he's mad. Why? Because the anointing is on him and not on them. You know what? Anointing doesn't fall on haters. Nope, nope, nope. Mm-mm. If you're a hater, you can't be anointed. You can't. The anointing is the love of God that radiates off you. That's why you got to be careful after you preach. Some folk think you like them and you don't. Because that anointing, the love of God, radiates off you, and they might think you attracted to them. That's why, hey, stay back. You're not the one. Yeah. It's just the anointing. That's all it is. I'm stop. But seriously, the anointing is the love of God. And so the love of God was radiated off of Stephen because God is love. And you can't be of God if you don't have love. So if you're hating on somebody, then you can't have love, which means you can't be anointed. Because the anointed is only God that's on you, radiating out you, and God is love. So the love of God radiates off him. Now they get mad and they hate him because they're not getting the attention that they want. Some folk can't preach all the time. Some folk can't teach because they're too jealous of somebody else. If when you get to the point that you ain't jealous, God can use you because your jealousy will bleed on the people. When you want to do it to be seen and not doing it for God, God will keep you in the background just to make sure that you understand that you're doing it for him. I went 20 years sitting in the background, not even getting able to preach but one time at my church, but I never complained. Why? Because I knew God was about to use me whenever he was ready to use me. He was going to use me in my season. A blessing delayed is not a blessing denied. He's just trying to make sure your heart is right. So they got mad at Stephen. And then Stephen didn't even get mad. He said, Lord, forgive them and don't even hold it against them. And like I said, God will use your enemies. And God began to use this because after Stephen died, people got bolder. So then now Paul gets jealous and gets mad. So he started killing all the Christians. But see, one thing about God, God don't deal with lukewarm folk. He used with you either hot or cold. And so long as Paul was in the middle, when he was Saul, God couldn't use him. But the minute he started killing everything, God said, oh man, this is a man of passion. Some of y'all might not agree to me because every now and then, if my enemy repent of what they do, I might restore them and put them where they were because I know that I mess up just like everybody else. God, if God can use Saul and make him Paul, God can transform us today. The problem is we'll forgive the old people in the Bible. We won't forgive the people we see. Ooh. He was put to death. Stephen inspired others to take the gospel. And Jesus told him in Acts 1 and 8, he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. His impact didn't end with his death. His death caused people to be bolder. You got to be like the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you got to get to the point and say, Lord, he will deliver us, but even if he don't. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Even if he don't, I ain't bowing down to you. You got to tell the world, I don't care what you say about me. I don't care what you do. I can't bow down to you. I can't bow down to your mess. I can't do this unethical stuff. I don't care. God gonna deliver me, but even if he don't, as for me and my house. Let me try to get up out of here. We live in a world of unprecedented hopelessness across every sphere, economically, socially, politically, emotionally, morally, spiritually, and environmentally. Wherever you turn, there was a sense of hopelessness, and the circumstances that people face daily are overwhelming. Remember we learned about circumstances? Remember we learned the little g god of this world, the Greek word, world comes from the Greek word cosmos, which means the order or the arrangement of things. It's like where we get cosmopolitan, cosmetology, where we get makeup from, where, you know, women put on their face to make them look a little better. Amen, you know, but that's how the devil does. The devil uses the world systems, and he paints circumstances in your life. He paints a sickness in your life. He paints some debt in your life. He paints a bad relationship in your life. But you need to understand, stop looking at the ways of life and look at toward the hills on which cometh your help, because the things that you see are temporary. The things that are unseen are what lasts forever. It said heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word shall never return unto him void. That's why when somebody come against you, you let them know, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. That's why when a scandal come at you, you don't worry about what's going on. You don't look at your circumstances. You let them know that greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. You let him know in Romans chapter 8 that all things happen for the good of those or to a cause according to his purpose. Lie on me, I don't care. God will use it for my goodness. I know I got cancer, but I don't care. God will use it for my goodness. I don't care if I got enemies. I don't care if I got a scandal. I don't care if I got a lie. I don't care, because God said that I can do all things. Oh, not some things. Not a lot of things. Not most things. Not a few things. But he said that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So the hell I'm going through must be ordained, because he orders my steps in his word. If I stepped in a pothole, it was meant for me. If I hit a speed breaker, it was meant for me. Everything that happens is for my good. It's to show you and me, my mama, my cousin, my enemies, my friends. It's to show them that I'm unstoppable, because I got the power of the Holy Ghost in me. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Hey, cancer, you better get out my face. I'm unstoppable. Hey, racism, you better get out my way. I'm unstoppable. Charlottesville, you better get out my way. I'm unstoppable. President Trump, you better get out my way. I'm unstoppable. White supremacist, you better get out my way. I'm unstoppable. Racist black folk, you better get out my way. I'm unstoppable. Why? Because greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Hey! Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he deliver ya? Won't he heal ya? Won't he bless ya? Hey! I'm unstoppable. Tell your neighbor, I'm unstoppable. Take a picture of yourself today. Tweet it out. Instagram it. Snapchat it. Facebook it. Email it, text it, and put hashtag unstoppable. I tell Satan, get ye behind me.
You can't stop me. Unstoppable. You can't stop the unstoppable. Unstoppable. The Holy Ghost is in you, so you unstoppable. Even death gotta bow down. Even the day I close my eyes and I can't open them no more, God has already opened up the portal of eternal life for me, because Jesus took death to the grave. Oh. Thank you, God. I love you. I bless you. We ask for your glory to move in this place. In the name of Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. Go to the church.